The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
How dare you, little jabroni, come on to the Rock Show. Come on to the People's Show. Come on to the Premier Show, SmackDown, and run your mouth about how you're the WWE Champion and run your mouth about how you're the game. Well, The Rock says, if you are the game, then quite frankly, you need to go back to the drawing board because your game absolutely sucks! The Rock says, The Rock says, The Rock says, The Rock says.
Hello, and welcome to SmackDown Matters. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm here with my co-host, Miss Jade the Max. How are you, Miss Jade?
Fantastic. Greetings, everyone.
Greetings to you as well. Glad that you could join me once again. Not on our normal recording schedule, but it's a holiday, so, you know, sort of like
a Sunday. This is the President's Day edition of SmackDown Matters.
Yeah, the only president that we acknowledge is Obama.
That's right.
So
and the dead president.
There you go. There you go. This is SmackDown Matters. We are part of the CSPN. You can find us on the web at cspn.us. You can also find us through iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, Google Play. All you have to do is search for the WrestleCast-the CSPN. So, Miss Jade the Max, we're here to talk about last Friday night SmackDown.
Yes, it was quite good.
Roman opens the show with the promo with Adam Pearce standing in the ring. Roman says Edge don't want none. He saw the fear in his eyes last week. Adam Pearce says he has a contract for Roman to defend the title in the Elimination Chamber. Roman says he's going to let Paul handle this one. Paul says Roman contract states he must defend the title at Elimination Chamber, not in the Elimination Chamber. Paul says the winner of the SmackDown side of the Elimination Chamber will receive a title match versus Roman that night.
Well, Adam, Paul said in, at, not in. Tomato, tomato.
Read the fine print.
Okay.
So, Adam says that he's got to fill the chamber, Elimination Chamber up through these qualifying matches, but he has two people in mind who won't have to qualify for the match, in Jey Uso and Kevin Owens.
Main event, Jey, back in the main event.
That's right, that's right. So Adam Pearce trying to get a little bit of get back here on Roman and Paul after they gave him a mini swerve.
Why he like halfway get out the ring though when he started announcing people that going to be in the chamber.
Yeah, he knew better. So Roman steps to Pearce and says he doesn't get it. They have a long stare down, and Paul is finally able to talk Roman down from harming Adam Pearce.
They're going to leave Adam Pearce alone.
Adam Pearce is going to have to do something dastardly before some people start respecting him. Right now, they don't respect his authority.
They don't. They do not respect his authority as the head of the SmackDown Matters table.
Definitely not. Especially not the guy at the top.
Right. The king of the jungle definitely respect him.
Sonya Deville. Fan
favorite. AKA here. Daddy Deville.
Fan favorite here on this show. And she's in the back. She has an idea that the winners of the upcoming tag team match between the Mysterios versus Sami Zayn and Baron Corbin will qualify for the Elimination Chamber. Adam Pearce says he likes the idea. So
I wish they could have. Look, I was fine without the Mysterios being in matches on Friday.
That seems to be the prevailing consensus right now, is that people are growing fairly tired of the Mysterio clan. And they're starting to side with people that they thought they never would, like Baron
Corbin. Baron Corbin. Right.
Funny thing happened along the way. Y'all made Baron Corbin a fan favorite. Baron Corbin and Sami Zayn are headed to the Elimination Chamber after they defeated the Mysterios when Sami Zayn hit Dominic with the hell of a Lou kick, pinned him, and so they cashed their ticket to the Elimination Chamber.
That made me happy. Never ever would I have thought 3 weeks in a row I'd be rooting for Baron Corbin. Yet here we are.
Ziggler and Bobby Roode, they want to be in the chamber match, so they approach Sonya and Adam in the back. Adam tells them that they can qualify for the match by defeating Cesaro and Daniel Bryan later in the evening. What do you think about that?
Sorry, I have one more yawn in me. I'm glad to see Cesaro in more TV time. I'm glad he's back in the singles competition. Acts like, or it sounds like, Daniel Bryan's committed to kind of putting Cesaro over these days. Right. Even though he was already over at Cesaro, but you get what I mean.
Right. Helping him advance himself up the ranks to where he should always have been.
Exactly.
Reggie, a.k.a. Flippy Skippy, tries to make up with Sasha in the back. He says,
"Is Reggie Haitian?
Is he what?
Haitian. It would explain a lot.
As far as I know, he grew up in St. Louis, but that doesn't mean anything. He could be of Haitian descent. I know that he was a part of the Circus Soleil, though.
Oh, okay.
So that explains the Flippy Skippy part of his
Flippy Skippy.
He says last week he was out of line, but he believes that Sasha will beat Bianca.
I mean, what? I don't know where they're going with this, but he need to get out Sasha Bay's face week in and week out. Back to opening Corbell for the other girl.
I think he's slowly changing sides.
Okay. Guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken, he was in that blue again.
Yeah, he has been wearing blue a lot. You're right.
Big E comes out to cut a promo about putting Sami Zayn and Apollo behind him when Apollo comes out and says he's here to accept the open challenge that he knew that Big E was about to make.
And what Big E tell that man?
Go back to catering?
Yes.
Apollo was like, nah, man. I ain't sitting back there.
He said he hungry. He said he not hungry. He already ate.
So this was a pretty cool exchange. Big E tells Apollo that he's had enough chances to go back to catering because it's not going down. Apollo says as long as Big E has the title, he's going to be in the front of the line, not in the back of it. Big E tells them to send out his next challenger and Nakamura's music hits. Big E wins by DQ when Apollo hit him with a drop kick while he was attempting the big ending on Nakamura. So it looks like we're getting an Apollo Crews heel turn, or maybe he's looking out more for number one.
I don't know, but I'm with it.
Yeah, him and Big E.
Apollo and Big E on my TV together. That's great. I like seeing all the color on SmackDown.
Yeah, the Big E Apollo exchange where they kind of have the talking, the real life conversations between each other, where the mic is like, Big E, put the microphone up though. You got the microphone.
Right, we trying to hear what y'all saying.
Right. But I like that exchange a lot. The locker room empties and surrounds the ring for the return of Seth Rollins. Notable by their absence, though, was Roman, Jay, and Paul.
Of course. Why would he be there? I don't even know why Sasha was there.
Seth says he's changed since he was at Survivor Series. He's become a father, and he has the vision to be the leader in the locker room they need to bring SmackDown into the future. The wrestlers all head back to the locker room, except for Cesaro. Cesaro says he knew, Seth says Cesaro knew that he would get it, but he blows off Seth and says that he hasn't changed. Seth then attacks Cesaro when he's heading up the ramp. He's telling Cesaro he'll never live up to his potential without Seth Rollins. Then Daniel Bryan comes down and makes the save.
Seth Rollins has not changed. I see they went back to his, but they went back to his old theme music.
Yeah, so. They did go back to the Burn It Down.
Huh. So what does that mean? We don't know.
I don't know. That's a good question. It was funny that they went back to the locker room leader story for him, though.
Yeah, that is funny. And Nobody Murphy.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Nobody Murphy.
Or Murphy or Buddy, whatever Vince McMahon is calling him these days. How you gonna be a locker room leader when we already got the head of the table? It can't be two at the top.
Maybe that's some, mm-hmm. some future story developments.
Mm-hmm.
That could come down the line a little bit later on.
Guess we have to wait and see.
Bailey gets the win over Liv Morgan after Billie Kay runs down to apologize to Riot after last week's fiasco. But Billie's resumes get thrown into the ring, allowing Bailey to rake the eyes of Liv Morgan and then hit the rose plant and get the win.
Billie and these resumes, dude. I'm really sorry, but his resume.
Right. Billie Kay, again, just being, you know, pure entertainment.
Playing her part. See what happens when you know your role.
Yeah, she's definitely flourishing. She's definitely got a better trajectory headed than Peyton Royce does at the moment, which I just thought would not be the case. Thought that, like, oh, Billie Kay is really going to be floundering out here without the Iconics being a team. But nah,
see, Billie Kay is flourishing, like you said. She's flourishing.
Yep. She's really starting to find her groove there on SmackDown. The Street Profits are back in ring action. They get a win over the Alpha Academy. No.
And Gable now working on the left arm of Montez Ford. And what Gable may lack in stature, he more than compensates for with power and technique. Look at that! Wow! Oh, he's back all right. Remember, he had a leg issue. Montez Ford showing his 100%. Ooh, and Chad Gable flattens Ford.
Taz got a little too carried away. Cover here.
And a pinning combination by Gable and a kick out at two. And another deep arm drag takedown into the arm bar.
Notice how Chad Gable's positioning himself constantly between Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Friday Night SmackDown on Fox. We're on the road to WrestleMania inside the WWE Thunderdome at Tropicana Field. Winner of this match could put them in the hunt for a tag team championship opportunity. The tag champs, Ziggler and Rude, they're in action in our main event later on tonight against Daniel Bryan and Cesaro. The winners of that matchup will go to the Elimination Chamber. More on that in a little bit. Gable now, arm drag continues to control Ford.
The grit and the gumption shown by Chad Gable, just tag, refusing to relinquish the hold. Dawkins, the much more powerful of the two.
And here's the double team by the former tag champs. Otis, an athlete in his own right, as he showed there. And now Otis rolling through Angelo Dawkins. Montez Ford.
Whoa.
By Otis.
Montez chucked to the outside by Otis.
Alpha Academy seems to be working. What a throw by Otis.
My goodness. We've heard for weeks Chad Gable, Daniel Bryan talking about the hips, the importance of the hips. Otis just showing the world why.
And now Otis is feeling it.
Like a runaway wrecking ball.
And here comes the Caterpillar.
Second you.
And Otis delivering the elbow. In this matchup, tag made.
You know what,
Gable now the legal man.
Put that clothesline.
And now Otis, caught by Ford as he goes over the top rope to the floor. Meanwhile, Dawkins caught Gable. And D'Angelo Dawkins up over the top, though. Gable pins it, and a kick out of two. Dawkins continuing to pursue Chad Gable. The quickness of Gable. Tag made, Ford's legal.
I don't think Gable realizes
it. Look at this, the anointment by Dawkins. Ford from the heavens. Cover now on Gable. The Street Profits with the win.
Here are your winners, the Street Profits.
So Street Profits back on track, trying to regain those SmackDown tag team titles.
The one Montez Ford.
Yes, ma'am.
That boy, every time he does his finishing move, I'm like, that man's ribs when he gets older. I hurt for him. I'm like, this is amazing to watch, but when, ooh, he looks like he's in pain after every one of those.
Right, right. We get a Sasha Banks promo on Bianca Belair that gets interrupted by Bianca Belair, and then they get interrupted by Shayna and Nia. Things get physical, and Binky and Sasha work together to stand tall.
Shayna and Nia, oh, I'm so over them.
Not feeling that.
I'm over. Nia and her whole are. No.
Her whole.
I'm actually looking forward to Raquel and Dakota Kai against Nia and Shayna, and I'm rooting for Raquel and Dakota Kai.
Foreshadowing.
Right. Maybe at Mania.
For those of y'all who did not see the NXT TakeOver yet, spoiler alert.
Yep. So y'all better not listen to this. Stop listening right now. Go watch it.
Daniel Bryan and Cesaro qualify for the Elimination Chamber with a win over Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler when Cesaro made Dolph Ziggler tap out to the Sharpshooter.
I am liking where Cesaro is headed.
To the moon.
That man has, he is, put a rocket on his back. That man has potential. He should have had a championship outside of the tag team, a singles championship a long time ago.
This is true.
But I see it for him. Who knows? Maybe we'll get Big E and Cesaro for Intercontinental title at some point. But not before Apollo Crews gets his time to shine.
I like that. I like the way you're going with that.
Yeah, see? They should hire me. But Vince don't want to pay nobody, so...
After the match, oh yeah, go ahead. You can't be wasting your time like out here working for pennies,
right?
Because
that's it.
You know, that ain't no way to go about life.
And he don't want to give people insurance. So.
Well, you just got to do like Sasha and Alexa Bliss, become a actress in a series or a TV show, and then you get that Screen Actors Guild insurance.
What has Alexa Bliss been on?
She's in this. The Punky Brewster remake they're doing.
Oh, I can see that for her. Is she, does she have time to take, well, I mean, I guess her acting's been on point. She's been doing the Firefly Funhouse. Mm-hmm. She's been getting her training. Yeah, right. Get that SAG card.
That's right.
Get them SAG benefits. I know.
Yeah, Sasha's been on 2 seasons of The Mandalorian now, so I know she qualifies.
I still haven't seen that show, but I guess I should invest in it. Is she like a reoccurring character, or is she just making a cameo?
No, I think her character is reoccurring. I'm not up on The Mandalorian like that either, but yeah, to my recollection, that's what's happening.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. They need to just go ahead and make her the star of the show. I mean, Sasha.
I mean, I'm pretty sure she... At some point, things keep trending the way they are for her. She's going to get a spinoff, her own little doodaddle.
Yeah. The Mandalorian spinoff, yeah, was like, I don't know what the name of it would be. Let me work on that, but yeah, I can see that.
I'm pretty sure you'd come up with something eye-catching.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure will. But I can't put it out there in the public for consumption because I need my coin.
That's right. You need to have it copyrighted and trademarked before you.
Exactly.
You're out here espousing things to the publics.
Exactly. Exactly. See? I got big ideas, man.
After the match, Jey Uso hits Cesaro from behind with a chair. Corbin and Sami Zayn attack Daniel Bryan. Then Corbin and Zayn attack Jey Uso. Sami then runs Corbin into the ring post before eating the running knee from Daniel Bryan. Then Kevin Owens comes out and lays out everyone with stunners. He then sits down.
You get a stunner. You get a stunner. Everybody gets a stunner.
He takes the chair that Jey Uso hit Cesaro with. He folds it open. He sits down. He stares into the camera and asks Roman if he was watching. And he says that he's not done with Roman yet. Of course, Roman was watching in the back, looking highly disgusted.
Steven, man was foaming at the mouth. I faked it.
Yeah, he was none too pleased about the situation.
Here for it. So are we going to get Kevin? Wait, so whoever wins Elimination Chamber is going to have a second match that night.
Mm-hmm.
Roman ain't leaving without his championship. He'll be champion by the time that's over.
Yes, and Elimination Chamber is this weekend. This Sunday.
I don't have... Wait, we just had something yesterday.
That was NXT.
I know. It's just a lot right now.
Well,
and they still haven't told me how I'm going to watch the WWE Network on Peacock. Without re-signing up for stuff. Like, I need instructions.
Yeah, unfortunately, more of that has not come down the pike. We do need to know a little bit more about that. If they're going to try to grandfather me in, or am I going to have to, like, find my way over to Peacock?
Yes, they need to tell us something. Because we've got, about a month away?
Yep.
March something?
Yep, March 20th or so.
Yeah, they need to let us know.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll be watching a new Punky Brewster reboot.
Yeah, and I'll be watching Lost Speedways. Okay.
Yeah, I guess we all going to be watching Peacock soon, huh?
Right. We're all going to have totally different things to watch, plus the WWE Network. Actually, it's probably going to be beneficial because I wasn't really watching much on WWE Network besides the pay-per-views anyway.
Same here.
So if you give me a channel that's got like maybe The Office or the old Parks and Recreations on it, though, I might get some use out of that.
Exactly, because I do love The Office up until seasons, like midway through season 7.
Okay. I'm a big Aubrey Plaza fan, so I love her character on Parks and Recreation.
I watched the first 2 episodes of Parks and Recreation, and then I stopped. And I can't remember why I stopped. Maybe it just didn't grab me. I don't know, but I heard it's pretty funny.
Yeah, and Rashida Jones's character is pretty funny on there, too.
I do like Rashida Jones. I think I'm going to give it another go once they make us get Peacock.
Yeah, it's not going to hurt anything, right?
Nope. And 30 Rock. I never watched 30 Rock, but I heard that's pretty funny, too.
No, what I am looking forward to, though, is tomorrow, the premiere episode of Young Rock comes on NBC.
Oh, yeah.
And, I'm going to try to be in front of my television for that.
Is it multiple? It's a full series.
Yeah, it's a series, right. It's supposed to be about just The Rock's childhood, growing up. As, you know, the son of a wrestler and all his encounters with, you know, the stars of the time.
Oh, it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to that, too.
Oh, yeah. Definitely going to be good.
Man, his wife, well, his ex-wife.
Danny.
Yeah, she's a good manager because that man.
Oh, well, he gets anything he wants, he pretty much gets from NBC at this point.
Yeah. I mean, he's a moneymaker.
Right. They're just lucky to have the association. So if he says he wants to do a remake of something that's like American Gladiators, call it the Titan Games, they like, sure.
Is that happening?
That already happened.
Wait, dang it, I missed it. I don't watch enough TV.
Yeah, you don't. You gotta watch it. I just be watching commercials.
I don't watch commercials. I skip right past them because that's what they're for, to skip past.
It's supposed to buy the things you see on the commercials.
No, I'm not buying nothing for like the rest of this year.
Okay. That's a long ways away, Miss Jade.
Listen, I don't need anything.
Oh, yeah. Forgot.
Except groceries. That's it.
So, okay. I'll save my thoughts for Wednesday, but you can go ahead and share some of your thoughts on the takeover that you've seen so far. The Raquel and Dakota.
Yeah, I've only seen the first two matches thus far. Of course, on Jade Time. But the women's match to open up was really good. I was really impressed. But I mean, you have four of the most talented women in NXT in all of WWE. Opening the show was really good.
Shotzi almost dying count was up to like three in that match.
I lost count. I said, this girl want to be Jeff Hardy so bad. She's going to be the one that pulls a Jeff Hardy and like does a swanton off the top of the Hell in a Cell one day. That was really good.
And then Kushida and Johnny Gargano.
I just knew Kushida was going to walk away. Oh, wait, let me not spoil it. It was a great match.
Yes.
Say that.
Yes, I watched it with my mom. She was very, very into it. She wasn't really in favor of the outcome either. But,
they need to strap a rocket to that man, too.
She really wasn't in favor of the outcome of the women's triple threat match, but she respects the winner.
Hey, I haven't gotten that far.
I haven't spoiled anything.
Oh, okay. I was just stopping you before you did.
I know.
You know how when you read an article about an episode and they're like in parentheses, like, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched, stop reading right now. That's what I was about to do to you. Stop.
Yes, I have stopped, so you can enjoy the second half of the programming.
Yes, I will. My Lay's barbecue potato chips. Those things are good.
Are those the kettle kind or are they the regulars?
Nah, ain't nobody got time for them hard-ass kettle chips. These are the regular kind.
Okay.
I do not like kettle chips.
Didn't know kettle chips had such a bad reputation in the J to the Max household. Dang.
Look. We do not like kettle chips over here. And I don't do a lot of snacking or eating a lot of junk food. And I don't even like chips that much. But these barbecue potato chips, man. Oh, man. They're so good.
They hit different, like the lights in the GameStop, the Cameron Grimes.
Yes, they hit different.
keep watching. There's a really good little Cameron Grimes piece on the Takeover 2.
Good. I'm looking forward to having him back. Was he out with an injury?
Yes, he was.
Okay. Well, I'm glad he's back. He's entertaining.
And he came back just on fire.
Yeah, because he was back on Wednesday night. Right. But yeah, I like Cameron Grimes.
Yeah, how can you not like Cameron Grimes? I found a lot of people were... At first
I didn't.
Yeah, at first it took me a minute to realize what his character was supposed to be, and then once I realized that he was supposed to be like Leonard Skinner, then I was like, oh, I got it. Okay, totally.
Yeah, I like Cameron Grimes.
Yes. What'd you think about the Johnny Gargano coming out in the wheelchair? Did you see that?
Wait, yeah, and I love how Wade Barrett's like, oh yeah, he broke his arm, so he needs a wheelchair. And Vic Joseph's like, wait, what did you just say? That didn't make any sense. Even Vic Joseph's like, what? Johnny Gargano, he's a really good heel. I like him better as a heel.
Yes. He's definitely found a different stride with this heel character and trying to lead this little group of wayward souls and Indy Hartwell and Austin Theory. So, yes, I really liked everything that they've been doing with him lately. And the matchup with Kushida was very good. They definitely paid off the build-up to this particular match.
Yes, that was really good. I am a fan of Kushida. And, you know, since I've been learning Japanese, when he did his little promo before the match, I heard words that I recognized. I was like, look at me learning.
All right, there you go. Have to give you
one day
New Japan's description, and then you can really test it out.
Okay, let me tell you. I signed up for Japanese too. That starts in April. Just give me till the end of the year. I got it. WrestleCast is going to be worldwide.
Yeah, take you along with me to the Wrestle Kingdom 18 or whatever in a couple of years when they open the world.
Okay, back up. I'm gonna need like 3 days of sleep before we do that because it's like. A week straight of wrestling?
No, it's just a couple of days. It's two nights like WrestleMania.
No, WrestleMania is two nights like New Japan.
Yes, there you go. It'd actually be three because New Year's Dash is like the Raw after WrestleMania for New Japan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else that you'd like to add to this week's edition of the SmackDown Match? Did you check out Raw? Anything on Raw stand out to you this past week? Did you survive?
Did I check out Raw? Okay. I'm trying to remember if I watched Raw, which means I probably didn't, which is why I listened to the Rawcast.
Sheamus and Matt Riddle Keith Lee and Riddle had a really good match. Randy Orton wrestled Drew McIntyre for the 15th time in a row.
Oh, God.
Ric Flair came out and cut a promo about why he's running around with Lacey Evans.
Because he's a womanizer?
No, he said that he's seen somebody with talent and the ability to become a champion, and she just needed a little bit of guidance, so he's here to provide the guidance. He says it's strictly casual.
He sees something that none of us
well, you know, Rick is older now. His vision might not be as good as it used to be.
Right, because who can stay in catering is Lacey Evans.
Oh, yeah, she had a horrible match with Charlotte, and it wasn't because of Charlotte.
Of course not. And you know, I ain't even one to like pump Charlotte up like that because she gets enough accolades. But of course not. It's never Charlotte's fault.
Yeah. So that wasn't very good. Kofi was back. And him and Xavier Woods got a win over a couple of members of Retribution. And then after the match, it was like, Kofi's like, okay, it's all tied up, because apparently he's having this like best of five series in his mind with Retribution. So he's like, we need to break the tie. Give me Reckoning. Talking about Mia Yim. Give me Reckoning.
She got the Rona, and she just got engaged. Is that what happens when you get COVID? You get engaged.
I guess so. But yeah, good luck to Mia Yim and Keith Lee. Those two crazy kids in love. Hopefully things work out for a long, long time for those two.
He said he won't Reckoning. So are we going to get our first intergender match in years?
I doubt it.
Probably not.
I highly doubt it.
Oh, it's every time we give you a door, a window of opportunity to do something great, you botch it. Lacey Evans botched that Spanish Fly.
Yeah, he's definitely not going to give anybody that intergender match just because they want it.
Man, bring back Lucha Underground.
That's what Raw's trying to do with all this Fiend stuff. I guess the Fiend will be coming back here soon.
Well, then they need to recycle some of Lucha Underground storylines in if that's what they're trying to do.
I don't think they have the talent to do that on the writing staff.
They definitely don't. That's why they should hire me.
You would pull your hair out after a month on the job.
No, they probably let me go because my ideas would be too wild and crazy and radical. I just need to write for enough episodes so I can get me a Writers Guild card.
There you go.
See, it's a means to an end.
Mm-hmm. springboard.
Stepping stone. See?
Not here for a long time, just a good time.
Yes. Till I get to where I need to get to.
All right, Miss Jade to the Max, I will let you give us your shout outs and thank yous for this episode.
Let's see. Who do I want to shout? Shout out to my cat Lexus, who turned 10 last week.
Okay.
And yes, she's been enjoying her birthday month, which looks like every other month because she's a cat. So lots of naps, lots of treats. And yeah, and the WrestleCast crew, as always. And also shout out to those wrestling girls for that great interview they had with Bianca Belair as well.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, hopefully they can get you on the show and y'all can.
I would love to hang out with those wrestling girls on an episode. That would be awesome.
Yes, and y'all can have shenanigans, and then we can do like a return, and they can come on.
Yes.
Your show.
Yes, I love it.
Share shenanigans. So I'd like to give a big shout out to Miss Jade to the Max, as always, for being my co-host on SmackDown Matters. Give a big shout out to Mo to the underscore Reese, Miss Simi, Mr. Anwar Starwin, Terry's boy, Miss Didi Jonay, Greg and Sam and Classic and Mel, because Mel always gets shout outs. Thank you to everybody who joined us for the hashtag HBKcast, the NXT TakeOver live tweet from this past Sunday night. It was definitely a lot of fun reading everyone's commentary with color. Please continue to use the hashtag SmackDown Matters each and every Friday night to share your commentary with color on the best show in WWE right now, SmackDown. Please follow the Patreon page at patreon.com/CSPN Media. Subscribe and get the extra content that we have here on the CSPN Media. You'll find our reviews of AEW Dynamite. You'll also hear before and after conversations of all our recordings here on the WrestleCast Network. So please become a patron, get the extra content. It's definitely worth it. Continue to rate and review the podcast. Leave us 5 stars on iTunes and other various platforms so we can get recognized and people can see what we're doing over here on the CSPN. So for my co-host, Miss J to the Max, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and this has been SmackDown Matters. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
See ya.
Man, it feels good to be back. Feels good to be back in the Thunderdome. Feels good to be back in this ring. It just feels right. This is where I belong. Oof. I am the proud father of a beautiful, perfect baby girl. And she has changed my life in ways I never could have dreamed of. And that change has given me a new perception, and that perception has given me a new vision. And I look at SmackDown and how amazing it is, and I wonder, where do I fit in? And after a lot of self-reflection, the answer became very clear to me. I am the great leader that SmackDown needs to push it into the future and make it greater than it already is. Because success and leadership, it's not about what you can do for me. It's about what I can do for you. Because I can be your leader. I can be your teacher. I can be your father, your mentor. All you have to do for a better tomorrow, a better SmackDown, all you have to do
is embrace the vision.
I knew you'd get it. I knew you'd get it. I knew you would understand my vision. I knew you would see it, of all the people.
Oh, wait a minute. So much for embracing the vision. And Rollins now goes right after Cesaro.